Good evening and happy Labor Day. I'm Katie Sewell with a special live show to mark the waning of summer and the start of fall. Book commentator Nancy Pearl is with us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Katie.
Nancy Pearl is the author of Book Lust, More Book Lust, Book Crush, Book Lust to Go, and she's a regular commentator on KOW and on NPR's Morning Edition. And we're here reflecting on the summer by considering the books we've read during it. Specifically, what was the best book that you read this summer? We want to hear your choices throughout this hour. Give us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW or 1-800-289-5869. 1-800-289-KUOW. And grab a pen because we're going to hear a lot of recommendations and I can't promise I'll get them all written down. So all the great books you may have missed and the ones you're choosing for yourself. So Nancy, let's start with you.
Well, the best book I read this summer, one of the best books, I think I read three great books this summer, all very, very different. And one of them is not even out yet, but it's called The Woman Who Lost Her Soul by Bob Shakoches. And it is, it's a love story. It's a spy novel. It's a story of a kind of twisted relationship between a father and a daughter. It's one of the heroes of the book is a special forces soldier. And it's set in Haiti. It's absolutely, I underlined so much of this book. The writing was just stunning. And it's a book that you just can't let go of. I'm still thinking about it obsessively. And I read it a month ago.
Is it one of those ones that, I don't know, when the characters are gone, when the book is done?
Yeah, you still think about them. And it's not, it's a book that all of the events grow out of the characters. If you consider Haiti being one of the characters, and you consider it's a book that brings alive Turkey. I mean, it's the setting and the characters work together to make the plot go. And even though it's 600 pages, I thought it was unputdownable. Huh. I wanted to find out what happened and what was going to happen. And practically every turn of the page, there was something surprising and shocking and distressing and beautiful. And oh my gosh, what a great book.
Now, how do you usually feel about books that long?
Usually I feel they're overwritten, but there have been some long books that I've really, really loved. Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, that wonderful fantasy by Susanna Clarke, is another doorstopper, not to coin a phrase. And that was just marvelous, too. Usually I find long books a little bit wearing. And I think I hurt my wrist actually holding The Woman Who Lost Her Soul. But this is a book I didn't think anything was extraneous. My gosh, you know, things happen and you think, what is that going to have to do with anything in the book? And then at the end, it all comes together and you care about these characters.
Maybe you should spell the author's last name
yes.
for everybody, because that's a tough one.
It is a tough one, and I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. S-H-A-C-O-C-H-I-S.
Yes, and that's A Woman Who Lost Her Soul. An easy to remember title.
It is.
Perhaps more than that.
You know, Katie, I'm not going to be the first one to say this, but I think this is possibly, this I think is a great American novel. I think this says everything about America since World War II, and that's saying something.
That is a big, that's high praise.
It is, it is. And I think not overblown praise.
Is there something about summer reading? Like, do certain books fit the summer? I mean, 600 pages
yeah,
maybe
I know.
Fits the summer. But
well, I don't know if that fits the summer. I mean, you could not take this on the beach. And if you're going to take it on a plane, you know, I think this is where, much as I, you know, I don't enjoy reading on e-readers, this is where e-readers come into their own, is a book that's 600 pages.
Right.
So in that sense, in one sense, yes, it's you know, good for travel. In another sense, you know, you don't want to read it. It's not a book to be read lightly. And I think when we think about summer reading, and Steve and I have talked about this, you know, every year we talk, we you know, kind of talk about what is a summer read. And when we think about a book like, you know, what would be a good book for summer reading, we think generally of a light read, something that's not going to take too much of our attention, something that we can put down and go out for a walk or a run or a swim and then come back and pick it up again.
And why is that? Is that because we just can't commit in the summer? Too much going on?
I think there's so much going on. And I think that, well, especially here in Seattle, it's a time when you want to be outside, and maybe that the summer is a time when audiobooks come into their own too, because when you're walking or jogging or whatever, or in my case bicycling, then I can listen to books.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. How do you feel about the audiobook?
Oh, you know, I'm just not an I learn much better. I take things in much better when I'm holding a book in my hand. I mean, even reading it on a computer is not something that is particularly enjoyable for me. But I think that depending on the reader, always the audiobooks can just be wonderful. Terry Pratchett's books, the ones set the Night Watch, particularly the ones with Sam Vimes as one of the characters. The reader for that is just amazing. And I could listen to those over and over and over again just for the pleasure of hearing him read.
I remember talking to the author, Tom Robbins, about his audiobook, because the first book I ever, and people always put it in quotes,
yes, they
read
do,
right. by him was an audiobook. And he said, oh my gosh, I hate those audiobook versions of my books, because he doesn't read them.
Right.
And I said, well, what's the problem? And he said, well, they put the emphasis on all the wrong words.
Well, I think when you're reading a book, when you're reading the text of a book and you're doing the reading, then it's really a relationship between you and the author, and you and the author are creating this book that you're reading. But when it's an audiobook, I don't put it in quotes. I mean, you're really reading a book when you're experiencing an audiobook. But the big difference is that with an audiobook, now a third person is involved, and that's the reader. And I think that makes a big difference in many cases, it'll be the determining factor of whether you read a book or not.
Yeah, or whether you continue on.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. And I know my husband, when he was in his sort of audiobook reading period, would choose his books by who read them. He'd find a reader he liked, and then he would just pick those books, which, you know, whatever works.
Yeah. Nancy Pearl is our guest. We're talking about the best book we read this summer. Let's take a call, and then we'll go to your other recommendations. Judith is on Capitol Hill. Hi, Judith.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your best book of the summer?
My best book for the summer is The Boys in the Boat.
Boys in the Boat.
Daniel yeah. James Brown is the author. It is about the 1936 crew from the UW that went on to win all the West Coast races. They beat all the big East Coast schools and were selected to go to the Olympics. And the reason since I read this book in June, I've read about 50 books since then.
Wow. That's impressive.
This book has stayed with me through all of that other reading that I've done, and I think it should be read by anyone who thinks that maybe they've been given a bad deal in life. What those boys went through in the Depression, a lot of them had no money. Joe Rance, one of the leading characters in the book, was literally thrown out of his family when he was 10 years old and forced to work on his own. And he was, made himself go through college and got himself onto the team. And took care of everything.
It is a really good book. I agree. And one of the things that I remember doing after I while I was reading that book was you can actually watch the race on YouTube. And that was really interesting from the 36 Olympics.
Oh, interesting.
That race. So, yeah. And I think particularly it's one of those books that transcends its locale. I mean, this is a book that really, as Judith said, I think it really speaks on a number of levels to many, many readers, which I think just it's I haven't talked to anybody who hasn't enjoyed it and thought it was a really great book.
See, a lot of hesitance is always comes from whether or not you like to read about different sports.
Yeah,
and things like that.
And I think the best books about sports are books in which the sports becomes almost a metaphor for something else. And I think in this book, whether or not you're interested in rowing or the UW's rowing team or the history of, you know, the Pocock Rowing Center, all of which is, you know, part of this book, it's not about that. It's about the lives of these young men and their coach. Hmm. And that's always interesting.
So that's Boys in the Boat. Do you remember who the author?
Daniel James Brown.
Daniel James Brown. Thank you for that, Judith. And you can share your best book that you read this summer by giving us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Do you want to, we're about up to a break, but do you want to recommend one more that you really love this summer before we...
Well, another one that I just absolutely adored and thought was, I don't know, just sort of sent me off reading a lot of African literature is a book called Americana, and that would be American with an A-H at the end.
Okay.
By Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. And she describes the book as being about race and hair and love. And it's about a Nigerian woman who comes to the United States for to go to college, and her life here, and then her life sort of paralleling her life in Nigeria. And I think, you know, there's a lot of books about race there are a lot of novels, there's a lot of nonfiction about race and the way Americans think about race. And I think, though, that this is a book that talks about race and race relations and the way we think about race in the United States in a way that I have never read before. I think that the fact that the author is Nigerian and looking at our not only racial history, but race today, and working that all into this novel, it is just remarkable. So this was one of my top books this summer as well.
Now, that sounds like the opposite of a summer read.
You know,
stereotypically.
Well, a little bit, yes. But it's not a heavy book. It's a book that I bought in totally to the love story. I mean, for me, it was a book about relationships. And it's a book that just gets you thinking about really interesting and important issues about race in the United States. And I think that's something that we don't think about enough, and we still haven't come to terms with it. And this is a book, I think, that opens up discussion. I thought it was a marvelous book, and it would be a great book, discussion book.
All right, give us the title and the author's name one more time.
Okay, the title is Americana, and the author's name is Chimamanda Ngozi, N-G-O-Z-I-E, Adichie, A-D-I-C-H-I-E. And for readers, for listeners who are interested, you can find her TED Talk online, which is just terrific as well.
We're talking about the best books we read this summer with Nancy Pearl tonight. Give us a call if you have one you'd like to nominate. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. I'm Katie Sewell. We'll be right back.
You live in a universe.
Is it a lot harder to land on an asteroid than it is to land on a planet?
You live on a spinning planet with people who don't always agree.
Are you expecting a coup, a military coup?
You live in a community of unusual beauty.
That's the sound of Goldmeyer Hot Springs.
Learn more about where you live. The Record on KUOW. It's a lively mix of news and culture from Seattle and beyond. Weekdays from noon to 2, starting September 3rd.
That's right. The Record starts tomorrow, Tuesday, at 12 o'clock noon here on KUOW. We're excited about the program and hope that you are as well. Good evening. I'm Guy Nelson. It's 8:20. We're talking with book commentator Nancy Pearl. It's a special show tonight. She's here live, and she'll share her favorite reads of the summer. And we'd like to hear yours as well. Give us a call at 543-5869. Or toll-free 1-800-289-5869. Seattle weather tonight, a chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm, low 61. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers, high 77. It's 8:21.
Good evening, I'm Katie Sewell. Often Labor Day signals the start of fall, whether or not the weather agrees with us, and certainly it didn't today. But the kids are heading back to school, and most of us, our summer vacations are unfortunately behind us. And we're marking the occasion tonight with book commentator Nancy Pearl, asking you what is the best book you read this summer. And let's go to John in Everett. Hi, John. John, hello?
Yes.
Hi.
You there?
Yes, we're here. We are here.
All right.
What was the best book you read this summer?
Well, I'm a much slower reader. It would probably take me 6 months to read a 600-page novel. I do read it on e-reader, so I can carry it around with me. Probably the best book that I've read in the last few months is The Death of Bees.
The Death of Bees.
Dark comedy really appealed to me, and it really lifted up that whole tragedy that adolescent girl had to go through.
What is that book? Give us a little synopsis.
Well, from what I heard in the first reviews, it's set in Scotland, but this adolescent young woman and her 11-year-old sister are the children of drug addicts. Her father dies in bed from one reason or another, and her mother ends up going and committing suicide. And they have these two bodies, and they are on the dole in Scotland, and they don't want to lose that money, so they bury them in the garden. Someone comes to the door and asks them, "Are your parents home?" She can say, "They're in the garden."
Death of Bees, not one you've read, Nancy?
No, I haven't, although I, too, have been spending a lot of time in Scotland, in Edinburgh, specifically because I am probably the last mystery reader in the world to have fallen into Ian Rankin's John Rebus trap of 18 novels about this kind of cantankerous, not taking orders from anyone, police detective in Edinburgh. And so I think I'm on book 5.
What is that series called?
They're just the John Rebus novels, R-E-B-U-S. But they're by Ian Rankin, and they're very, you know, the libraries have all of them. And
so this is a book that actually drove you to travel?
No, I actually discovered the Ian Rankin book, or I picked up the Ian Rankin book when I was on vacation in Cornwall, walking the Southwest Coast Trail, and Coast Path, they call it. Although it was no path, that was a trail, I have to say. A path makes it sound all too easy. I always go into Oxfam stores and, you know, those thrift stores in wherever I go to look for books. And I was looking for something to read, and there was an Ian Rankin book, which was, you know, like maybe 600 pages as well in paperback, and it was like 50 pence. So I bought it, and then I could just sort of tear it apart as I read it, so it would get lighter and lighter each day. And then that just started me, and then I picked up another one.
That's very smart.
I know.
I was telling you before the show, I got into the Ken Follett really long books this summer, mainly because I had to do a lot of flying. And let me tell you, I have back problems from carrying those books around.
Well, that's why I just always buy, you know, very disposable paperback that I can either, you know, if I'm not going to tear it up, I can leave it wherever I am and not regret that too much, or I can rip out the pages. You do get a lot of funny looks from flight attendants, though. Are you tearing up that book? So,
yeah, everyone's like, no, it hurts.
Yeah, right.
Nancy Pearl is our guest. We're talking about the best books you've read this summer. And let's go to Lena in Gig Harbor. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Lena.
Hi.
Are you talking about Glenna?
Oh, Lena, yes, I am. Hi.
Yeah. Well, that's not the only time people mess up my name.
Yeah, well, yeah. What's your favorite book this summer?
This summer was The Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón. And I love these shows because usually the things that I get are recommendations I hear Nancy talking about. So this was one of those books where I was going to, I feel like I should go back through it with a highlighter. It was just so amazingly written. The plot was like nothing I'd seen anywhere else, and I didn't see the ending coming. The character development is wonderful. You know, you start with a guy that's a 10-year-old boy who's a real sweet boy, and you go through his being a sullen, grumpy, nasty teenager. You go through him becoming a grown man and then having his own child. It's just a wonderful, wonderful book. I kind of hesitate to talk about the plot just to give it away, but it's set in Barcelona just before World War II, and just really, really interesting.
So that's The Shadow of the Wind.
Yeah, and this is on many, many people's best book list. I mean, whenever we do these call-ins, there's always going to be someone for whom The Shadow of the Wind is the book that they want to talk about. And it's easy to see why. I mean, it is wonderfully written. It's set in an interesting time after the Spanish Civil War, before World War II started.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to... Let's go to Hank in North Seattle. Hi, Hank.
Hi. I would like to recommend a book of poetry, which we need more of on these selections, by Lawson Inada, called Legends from Camp. Lawson Fuzao Inada was for many years the poet laureate of Oregon. Legends from Camp are evocative poems about his experience as a boy in the detention camps for Japanese American citizens.
Hmm.
Great.
Have you heard of that? Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that we do need to somehow figure out. It would be nice if we had somehow figured out how to always include a book of poetry in these lists. But so often, for me, it's just a poem or two that I like. You know, it's hard to sort of recommend a whole book always.
And do you, when you read poetry, do you read it straight through as you would a book, or are you?
Yeah, I find that difficult to do. It's easier for me to read a page or two and then put it down and let those poems kind of seep in.
Stephanie is in Redmond. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
What's your favorite book of the summer?
Oh, my favorite book of the summer was this little book that I actually saw somebody post on Facebook, and they said it was really good, and so I picked it up. It's called Heirs and Spares, and it's by J.L. Spohr. And it's kind of a historical fiction, has some romance, has some intrigue. I just found it absolutely delightful. I couldn't put it down.
What was it about? I mean, it sounds like it's a period book. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's fiction. It's set in a little... country called Troyden, which obviously is not real, but it's set, I think it's like the 1500s. And it's a historical novel, and it has a king who's looking for a wife, essentially, and he finds one, and she doesn't actually want to be queen. And it's just totally delightful. I just sunk into it, and I couldn't put it down till it was done.
So I think that Heirs and Spares, Jenny Spohr's, and her last name is spelled S-P-O-H-R,
yes.
Would be great for people who love Regency romances. Julia Quinn fans, I think, would really enjoy Heirs and Spares as well.
Yeah, thank you for that. Heirs and Spares, J.L. Spohr. Is that? Did you have another one you wanted to recommend before we take another call?
Well, the other one that I would recommend is Leah Carpenter's 11 Days, which is not 600 pages long. but it's the story of told from two points of view, a mother and her son, who is a Navy SEAL. And the 11 days of the title are the days in between when the mother learns that her son has gone missing in Afghanistan, and the time when she finds out, the day when she finds out what happened to him. And it's another one of those books that I just underlined a lot and really, really cared about both of those characters. And it's a mother and son who are very different in their approaches to the world and what's important to them and their political views, all everything that you would think that would come between, you know, this mother and this son. And yet they have this fabulous, close, loving, warm relationship. And it was a really good book, and especially because it's her first novel, I think. It's pretty remarkable.
So that's 11 Days, and who was the author again?
Leah, L-E-A Carpenter.
Okay, Leah Carpenter. That's easier to spell.
Yes, right.
At least.
Right.
For some reason, that reminded me of the book, The End of Your Life Book Club, just uh-huh. how you described that.
Oh, yeah. You know, The End of Your Life Book Club is another wonderful book that... all things being equal, I probably never would have read because I would have thought it was so self-indulgent and, you know, just I think maybe it was poorly titled or something. But then I read it, and it's the story of a man whose mother is indeed dying of cancer, and she and he spend a lot of time talking about books together. But even the books are not the most important thing. The most important thing is the relationship between the mother and the son. And when I read it, I kept wishing that that had been my mother, that she had been my mother, or that I had been a mother. You know, like that, I kept, you know, wanting to call my daughters and say, was I anything like this? Say yes, say yes.
That's Will Schwalbe, is that
yes,
his last name?
Yes, S-C-H-W-A-L-B-E.
And the End of Your Life Book Club. Jeffrey is in Rainier. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi.
What was your favorite book this summer that you read?
Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Anderson.
And why did it appeal to you this year?
Because of all the crap that's happening in the world, and America's responsible for a third of it, Britain's responsible, and France is responsible, and it's just amazing. You find all this stuff in there involved with all these people. It's incredible.
It is. I have to agree with you. It's a book, you know, you think after Lawrence's, T.E. Lawrence's own, you know, his autobiography, you think of all the stuff that's been written about the Middle East, you know, why do we need another book? But Scott Anderson has brought just a different view, a different vision, a different, you know, maybe it's true that each generation has to write, for example, their own biography of Abraham Lincoln. You know, each generation has to look at the history of this period, and it just brings in everything. And Scott Anderson, I think, did a fabulous job. This is great nonfiction.
And do you have any idea, is that a brand new book?
It's brand new.
Okay.
It's brand new. I think it just came out either in late August or September.
So that's Lawrence of Arabia. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Lawrence in Arabia.
Lawrence in Arabia, sorry. Karen's on Mercer Island. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
What was your favorite book?
My favorite book for the summer was Exile by Richard North Patterson. And I liked it. It surprised me because I don't usually read about this so much. It was a novel about a Jewish lawyer who falls in love with a Palestinian, and then she really feels strongly that she can't continue the relationship and marries a Palestinian. But then she's tried for killing a prime minister in Israel. And so but nonetheless, this person ends up being her attorney in this conflict. And so she's being tried, and it is fiction, but it expresses both sides of the conflict in Israel in a very well done way. So I appreciated learning more about both sides.
So that's called Exiled?
It's called Exile, yeah, by Richard North Patterson.
So I was going to say that have you read any of his other books?
No, not yet. And I know he's written quite a few, and they're really
tons.
Good, aren't they?
Well, some of them, my favorite of his is called, I'm just looking this up on Wikipedia, is called, I Believe, Silent Witness. And I just want to make sure that's the right one. And that was published in 1997. And that's when I reread, you know, every couple of years, even though I know who did it and I know what's going to happen. I just think it's a really good book about a young man going back home and facing elements of his past, and then a crime eerily similar to a crime he was accused of committing happens again while he's in town, and he has to figure out what happened. But I'm going to make sure it's called Silent Witness so I don't send you off looking for the wrong book.
So we'll circle back.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Karen. Let's see. Let's go to Steve on Bainbridge Island. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm recommending The Day the World Came to Town, 9/11 in Gander, Newfoundland, by Jim DeFetti, I think it is.
And what appealed to you about that book this summer?
It was just a warm response by a bunch of people mobilized to provide aid and comfort to those planes that were forced down on 9/11.
It is. It is just a really. It's quite a lovely book, and you do get a sense after the horror of 9/11, and you know everything that all the fear and the kind of mistrust and everything. You have these people in Newfoundland who just sort of opened their hearts and opened their homes and everything to these planes that you know were all grounded. It is a very good book, and I have to say the book by Richard North Patterson that is my favorite is Silent Witness.
Silent Witness.
Yes.
One more before the break. Diane's in Maltby. Hi, Diane.
Hi. We went on a road trip, and we listened to The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making, read by the author Catherine M. Valente. And it was beautiful, very poetic. She drew pictures with her words. It was lovely. So just a fantasy.
Have you heard of that book?
I have, and actually I've tried to read it. I'm happy. I mean, I'm really happy to hear that that you liked it so much. I have had trouble. I've tried to get into it because so many people have told me how much they've enjoyed it a couple of times, and I don't know if I'm just not in the right mood or what's happening, but I have not been able to get into it. And it's always interesting to me when that happens, because it's not that I didn't like the book. It just didn't connect, and so I put it down.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it has to do with timing, I'm sure, just what's going on in life.
I think it totally has to do with timing and mood. Those two things, I think, go together to help us, to help make the reason why we either enjoy a book or don't.
Thank you for that, Diane. We are talking about the best book we read this summer with Nancy Pearl, author of Book Lust, More Book Lust, Book Crush, Book Lust to Go. She's a regular commentator on KOW, and you also hear her on Morning Edition. Give us a call. Let us know what you've been reading this summer. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, or toll-free 1-800-289-5869. I'm Katie Sewell. We'll be right back.
KUOW News and Information. Good evening. It's 8:38. I'm Guy Nelson. We'll be back to talk with Nancy Pearl some more about her favorite books of the summer. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 543-5869, and tell us what your favorite read was this summer. The toll-free number is 800-289-5869. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, the news of a likely chemical weapons attack in Syria is a horrifying reminder that combatants don't always play by the rules of war. Tonight we'll look at the history of warfare and how it has led to questionable methods such as drones and chemical weapons. That's at 9 o'clock tonight. Seattle area weather tonight, a chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm overnight, low 61. Showers likely tomorrow, high 77, not much of a change for the rest of the week. Partly sunny on Wednesday, but a chance of rain as well, high near 80. And on Thursday, showers and a bit cooler, highs in the low 70s. It's 71 degrees in Seattle's University District at 8:40. This is KUOW.
Good evening. We're marking Labor Day and the fading of our carefree summer months this evening. I'm Katie Sewell. But we're doing it in a nice way. We're reflecting on the best books that we read this summer as a way of transition into the school year, into the fall. Nancy Pearl is our guest, author of Book Lust, More Book Lust, Book Crush, Book Lust to Go. And we're also hearing your selections for the best book you read this summer. So if you feel like it, give us a call, 1-800-289-5869. Share the best book discovery you made and why you liked it so much. And Carol is in North Seattle. Hi, Carol.
Hello. I am a longtime admirer of Ivan Doig, our local author. And the latest book that I have to read in large print now, so I had to wait a year or two before it came out in large print, but it is The Bartender's Tale. And the reason I wanted to report this is that I've been reading for 75 years, and it is the first book that I have ever read that just I was dropping in my lap every once in a while because it would bring up a memory of my childhood or my early years. Hmm. And I've never had that happen. And I wondered if Nancy had ever had that happen.
For me, it happens fairly frequently that that there'll be something in a book that will remind me of someone or something that's happened. I think it's lovely that it's Ivan Doig's book that you're talking about. And he actually has a brand new book out that you might want to put on hold at the library in large print. And I will tell you the title in one moment.
Okay.
Wonderful.
You can look it up. Well, that's high praise, Carol, after 75 years of reading.
75?
I said that's high praise after 75 years of reading books.
Well, it's the first time it's ever happened to me, and I've read all my life. So it is kind of interesting. I'm surprised I made the call. But
we're glad you did.
Well, that's great. Well, keep listening, and Nancy will let you know what that other title is as soon as she has it on her smartphone.
Oh, here it is. Okay. It's called Sweet Thunder.
Sweet Thunder. And that came out this year?
Yes, August 20th.
All right, Sweet Thunder.
Of last month.
Ivan Doig, our own local Ivan Doig.
Yes.
Jim is in Bremerton. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to recommend Neil Gaiman's latest book, The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
So what of his other books is it similar to, do you think?
I think it sort of seems to take place in the same universe as American Gods.
Uh-huh.
Is that one you've read, Nancy?
I have not read the new one. I mean, I'm sort of saving it for a trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Neil Gaiman, and I love Neverwhere is my favorite Neil Gaiman book. I think.
Yeah, that's a great book too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I got it, and I think I read it in one day and couldn't put it down.
Oh, that's great!
Wow, that's great. So, have you read all of his books then, Jim?
Yes, I have.
Oh, great! Are there any other authors that you've read all of their books besides Tolkien? Maybe some of those standards.
Not that I can think of. I mean, he's one of the ones that I was especially looking forward to him sort of returning to. Writing a more adult book than his last outing.
Yeah, the Graveyard book, though, you read that.
Yeah, that was a great
That was great.
I read it to my 11-year-old son.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you're reading out loud to him, even though, you know, he's 11. I think the Graveyard book is a wonderful, it's just a wonderful book to share.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Jim.
All right, thank you.
You want to tell the name of that author one more time?
Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman.
All yes, right. Gaiman.
And we've been hearing, it's interesting because, you know, Jim there has found one author and read everything that he could find by that author. And then you have our other caller who, I think it was Stephanie, who heard about Heirs and Spares on the internet and picked it up. Are you finding that the way you're hearing about books is different? Obviously, you're targeted by publicists that you're the famous Nancy Pearl, but is word spreading in a different way?
I think I definitely find books from reading, you know, from you know, the people that I, the entities that I follow on Twitter, for example, hearing about books that way, or, you know, I'd love to do shows like this because I always learn about books that either I'd forgotten that I'd enjoyed or that sound really good to me. So I think that we are hearing about books in what has now become a traditional way, you know, via social media.
Do you keep a list of the books you've read?
The best list that I keep is via Twitter. I mean, I can just go back and see what books I've tweeted about. And, you know, I don't do anything except about a book on Twitter. I mean, that's what I use that for.
Nancy Pearl is our guest. We're talking about the best books that we read this summer. And Mary is in Bryant. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What was your choice for the summer?
I really liked Sandy Doughton's book called Full Rip 9.0.
Oh. Is that the one about the Seattle earthquake?
It's about this region's earthquake dangers. And it's what I love about it is that the people who study earthquakes tend to be really quiet people, geologists. they're incredibly modest, quiet people. And she managed to talk to them and get their stories. And, I mean, the discovery of how dangerous this area is seismically is a really interesting story. And I think, you know, I just thought it was a great book.
See, another one that's counter to the beach read, so to speak.
Right, definitely.
It says something about our region, too, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. And I was just thinking, like, where would you move? where is someplace safer? I don't know.
That was one of the main reasons I didn't read that book.
Yeah, right.
Because I didn't have plans to move. Petra's in Bremerton. Hi, Petra.
Hi.
What's your pick?
I read The Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared. It's a Swedish book by, I believe it's Jonas Jonasson.
Huh. Not one you've read?
I love the characters. I loved what he had them do. And the funny thing is my brother never reads novels or rarely, very rarely. And something about it made me think he would enjoy it. And he ended up enjoying it very much. So much that his girlfriend's friend decided to read it. And he would not finish the book because he didn't want to leave these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
Then, I'm sorry, what?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Another gentleman read the book, did the same thing. It took him forever to finish the book because he didn't want to leave these people.
Hmm. Is it a mystery?
They kind of liken it to a Forrest Gump type thing, but I saw that movie and I don't see it at all. It's just about what happens to this old man, and it flashes back to the life he's had, and he has met people like Mao Zedong's wife, and it always turns out that something he had done in the past helped him down the road.
Hmm. And how did you find this book
read? You might like this, because I was in Poulsbo, and I had to run an errand, and I like to support small bookstores. And there's a very lovely bookstore in Poulsbo on the main street. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it. But while I was there, I thought, you know, I need a good book to read. And so I'm kind of in a hurry. And something about the title grabbed me and something about the cover. And I was amazed how much I love this book. Actually, I've read it twice already.
Still, I
love this book. By the way, you know what my brother and I are doing? A friend of ours got the book in German. And like I said, it's a Swedish book. So we are now reading the English and the German version to see how the translators / interpreters are treating what they've read in the Swedish.
That's great. So the name of the bookstore, we should give a shout out to that Poulsbo bookstore, is Liberty Bay Books.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's a wonderful little bookstore.
And the title, again, is The Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared?
Yes.
All right. That's great.
Great.
Thank you, Petra.
Thank you for a wonderful show, you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.
That does raise the question of, Nancy, have you read a book recently where you didn't read the ending because you didn't want the characters to end?
Well, I find that I just, if it's a book that I really love, I go slower and slower and slower and slower and slower. But normally, I have to say, and I have this in common, we talked about Will Schwalbe, who wrote The End of Your Life Book Club. I actually do read the end of the book first.
Yes.
Because I really want to know what happens so I can either, you know, sort of gird myself up to get there, or I can, you know, I can rest easy knowing that that everything's going to be okay.
That raises the question in my mind, Nancy. What were you like as a kid on Christmas morning?
Oh, yeah.
Were you like digging through the closet before?
And, you know, I'd get up at midnight and, you know.
Make sure you knew what was happening.
I still think I would like to know the ends of things, actually.
Isn't that interesting? When did you start doing that?
Well, I find ends very difficult. So, like, I can never watch the end of a basketball game or the end of a football game because it's just so nerve-wracking. So to ease that sort of anxiety of the ends, I just have started reading years ago the ends of books first.
I love that. Chris is in Belltown. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
What was your best book that you read this summer?
Well, so I'm fully prepared for a collective rolling of the eyes here. I normally don't read fiction, but one of my kids was on me early in the summer about this book that he just read, and there was a movie coming out later in the year. Said I would absolutely be captivated by it. I don't know why he thought that, but I picked it up and I read it anyway, and I absolutely read it cover to cover. It was so captivating. In fact, I had to put the book down several times to look outside the window to make sure that this wasn't real. But the book is World War Z.
Oh, World War Z is great. You're not going to get any eye rolling. My goodness.
It was absolutely fantastic, and it absolutely captivated me. And again, it was nightmares to the point that I kept having to look outside and make sure this wasn't really happening.
You know, if you want to do another really good one, very different in style and, you know, the way it's written, but The Passage by Justin Cronin.
Yes, I have read that, and I read the sequel, too,
yeah,
as well.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, The Passage, absolutely. Yeah, I read that a couple of years ago when it first came out.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was very good. I'd say the only other book that matched these in that genre, if you will, was The Road by McCarthy.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it was another one that was just so nightmarish you just couldn't stop reading it.
Do you generally read nightmarish books, Chris?
No, I don't. But the ones I've picked up, I'm now starting to wonder if maybe I've discovered something new. I'll have to wait to see what Amazon recommends to me next.
Well, take a look at Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman.
What was that again?
It's called Neverwhere, N-E-V-E-R-Ware, W-H-E-R-E.
Okay, yeah, I will check that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
Okay.
All right. Mary is in Bainbridge. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi. My favorite book this summer, it was Jill Kerr Conway's The Road from Corain. It is her memoir, and it is the most fascinating story about this young girl growing up on a sheep ranch in New South Wales, Australia, and the trajectory of her life ending up 30 years later as the first, maybe 40 years later, as the first female president of Smith College here in America. And it has just had the most profound effect. And I heard Nancy saying she loved to look at the end of the book. I never could have done that in this book. There are so many surprises and joys and sadnesses throughout the book. And I just cherished the book so much that I had to stop after a few pages and just think and put it down, and I did not want it to end.
And I think that's like one of the highest praises for a book, is that you just did not want it to end. And The Road from Corain, which was published in the 1990s, I believe, is one of, when it came out especially, people just loved that book. And partly, you know, it's that story of a young girl growing up and really sort of shaping her life. It's a good book.
Nancy, we're almost out of time, but do you want to leave us with one more title that we should pursue? Maybe something that we should cozy up with once the weather turns and we're starting to feel bad about ourselves or the weather.
You know, here's an old book, an older title that is that I think is just one of the best, most entertaining memoirs I've read, which is Haven Kimmel's A Girl Named Zippy, Growing Up Small in Moreland, Indiana. I don't think you can read that without a smile coming to your face or just a lot of laughing. It's just terrific.
Is it humor? It's that makes fall and winter lighter.
Yes, it's absolutely and makes the childhood lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a wonderful memoir. It is a wonderful memoir.
Well, and would you say that depending on what you decide to read in the summertime, has it ever changed how you remember a summer? Like years ago?
That was the summer I read.
Yes. Like, so I remember when I was a much younger person and I read The Mists of Avalon, which at the time was the longest book I've ever tried to do. And, you know, it's my successful summer, the getting through The Mists of Avalon.
You know, I don't think I've ever done anything like that. You know, I mean, I don't think I identify that kind of thing. I more remember who recommended a book to me or where I was in the library, you know, positioned where I was in the library when I found this particular book. That's the kind of thing mm-hmm. that I remember.
What beach you were sitting on.
What beach I was sitting on reading that book, right.
Well, really quick before we're done, why don't you give the titles one more time of your favorite books
of my
summer
of my favorite, okay.
For people who missed them.
Good. The Woman Who Lost Her Soul by Bob Shikochis, Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and 11 Days by Leah Carpenter.
Nancy Pearl is the author of Book Lust, More Book Lust, Book Crush, Book Lust to Go, and you hear her regularly on KUOW and on NPR's Morning Edition. Are you still hosting the Seattle Channel program?
I am still doing author interviews, and actually have an interview with the author of The Boys in the Boat coming up. So that will be on the Seattle Channel in October, I believe.
So tune in for that Seattle Channel Book Lust with Nancy Pearl. In 2004, she won the National Book Association Award for her extraordinary contribution to the world of books, which is so nice. And yes. She's also been named Library Journal's 2011 Librarian of the Year. Thanks for coming in on a Monday night.
You're welcome.
And joining us.
Thank you, Katie.
And I also want to thank all of you for calling. And a special thanks to Hannah Byrne for screening the calls tonight and to Guy Nelson, who's engineering late into the evening. This is KUOW. I'm Katie Sewell. Thanks so much for being with us.